Good morning. This is Wayne Greer with the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you listening in today and hope you'll keep the dial right there. We will be with you for the next 30 minutes, and today is a day that many of us have been looking forward to for a long time. It's Election Day, and if you have not gone out to vote, we certainly encourage you to do that. It's good to have Dave Blanks in the studio today, and good morning. How are you, Dave?
Excellent, Wynn. I hope you are as well. You're not going to miss all the signs and all the commercials?
No, I'm not. You know, I'm not going to miss the signs. I'm not going to miss the commercials, and I'm just not going to miss any of that stuff.
Well, it ends today.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And the way I understand it, they have the candidates, their helpers. I don't know exactly what they're called. It slipped my mind, but they have a few days of grace to get the signs up and all of those things. And, you know, but it's
like after the election to clean up.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, we all get tired of it, tired of hearing about it, and my mailbox has been full every day of ads, different ones. But, you know, in a free society, it's one of our blessings that we have, and I'm going to talk about that just a little bit today. I'm sure there's not very many people who are undecided. You're either going to vote, or, you know, most people already have their mind made up. But I'm going to talk a little bit today about what kind of men should Christians support for civil office. And I'm going to share a little bit from a pamphlet that I have had for several years now. But that's what I'm going to share today, just a little bit along the lines of Election Day. And I'm going to read something out of Proverbs chapter number 2. To start with today, Proverbs chapter number 2, I always encourage everybody to follow along with us. It's not too late to get started in a good habit of reading a portion of God's Word every day. The book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. That's one for every day of the month. And so read along with us. And then on whatever day of the week it is when I come to do the radio broadcast, we read out of that chapter. And I thought this was fitting for today out of Proverbs chapter number 2. I'm just going to read several verses here. This is giving us or talking about the choices that we have, and thank God we do have choices here in America concerning our elected leaders, and we can either choose one path and go down it, or we can choose another path. We have a choice. And Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 10, I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter. It says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness." And we've struggled with that as a nation since our very beginning, the choice between good and evil and leaving the good path and going down the wrong path and where it leads us to. It talks about in verse 14, men who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. That word frowardness, you know, we don't use it every day. And I have to look it up quite often, because I think I've got it now, but when I first started studying in the book of Proverbs, I'd come to that word froward, and I thought, what in the world does that mean? It simply means perverted, a perverted way, and it's talking about those who delight in the frowardness, the perversion of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. There's that word again, people who are perverted in their paths. But wisdom and discretion is given, verse 16 says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. And we've heard flattering words from both sides now for months and months. You know, I'm along the lines of the election and having an election in our country. And then verse 18 says, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. This is talking about going down a path and not being able to turn back. And I think many in our country are concerned that we have gone so far down the path of debt and socialism and big government that there's no way to turn back and get back where we need to be as a free nation. And then it says that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. And so there is a choice in our lives. There's a choice in our nation. Sometimes we don't think we have much of a choice, but there's always a choice, and I'm thankful for that today. And I want to say before I get started in the body of the program this morning that this is brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located at 1128 Baird's Creek Road. We'd love for you to come and visit with us. We've had several visitors that have heard us on the radio and came out. We also have a website that has sermons, has a radio broadcast. It's mountlebanonbc.org, and that is shortened up. It's mtlebanonbc.org. And so, they do a real good job on that. And I appreciate those out of the church and the ministry that they have keeping and maintaining the website. But we'd love for you to come be with us. And a lot of times I get down to the very end and I forget to mention anything about the church. But I do appreciate the church and them sponsoring and taking care of the radio broadcast. But I found a little pamphlet, and I've had this for years. I was digging through some papers at the house, and I came across this. There used to be, and I don't know even if the gentleman is still living or not, but a gentleman up in Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland, and his name was John Decker, or is Reverend John Decker, and he had a radio broadcast several years ago. He's a Presbyterian pastor. And it was called In Defense of Truth. And I used to always just enjoy that so much. And he would talk about a lot of the same things that I talked about, that I talk about on the radio broadcast. And, you know, as a preacher, and I'm sure there's probably people that listen in that think, well, why don't he just stay in the Bible? Why don't he just preach messages out of the Bible and leave anything to do with politics or leaders alone? And, you know, I was saying about that the other day. There's nothing more than that I would love to do than just talk about good things, talk about salvation. The Lord knows that's a needed thing. That's the most necessary needed thing in anybody's life. But the Lord brought me back to a scripture in the book of Jude, verse number 3, that I have looked at many, many times down through the years. And this little book of Jude, Jude wanted to write a book about the common salvation, meaning common to all believers. And he said that in verse number 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," what he was saying there was, I wanted to write a letter about what the Lord has done for me, how he had given us salvation. But he went on and he said, instead of being able to do that, that's what he's saying here. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he said, "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." So he had to write what we refer to in the Bible as a fighting epistle. There was something to stand up for. He had to write a letter about earnestly contending for, fighting for the faith. And, you know, if we don't have people, if we don't have memorials that remind us, just like the controversy of the Christian flag down in King, North Carolina. I've really been keeping up with that and trying to stay informed on that. And we went down to the rally. You know, if we don't stand up for things like this, because a Christian flag, it's like a sign along the highway, and it reminds us of our history. And if we remove all the road signs of how we got here, how are we going to know how to stay here? And so there are just some things that are important that we need to keep at our forefront, and we need to not forget. There's already a whole generation of young people that literally they don't know how we got here. They weren't taught, like even I was taught in school, about George Washington and how he prayed, and about our leaders and how they looked to God and how they looked to the Bible and they prayed and asked for direction and leadership. And there's a lot of young people don't realize the great Christian heritage that we have here in America. So I'm thankful for it, and I feel led to keep going down this road and reminding us how we got here. We are a nation that has a rich Christian heritage, and I'm so thankful for that today. But I found this little pamphlet I was telling you about, Reverend John Decker, In Defense of Truth, and I got this years ago. It's probably been 12, 15 years ago, but it's a pamphlet originally written by Noah Webster. I refer all the time to the Webster's 1828 dictionary. And Mr. Noah Webster, he was one of the greatest statesmen in our nation at that early time. He wrote a little pamphlet called The Value of the Bible and the Excellence of the Christian Religion, originally printed in 1834. And in this pamphlet, he talks about the kind of men that we as Christians should support for civil office. And so I just wanted to share a little bit with you today from that pamphlet and from the Bible, because he quotes the Bible quite a few times here. But first of all, I'm going to read out of 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 1. This is when David, King David, probably the most famous king in the world, especially in our part of the world. We probably most everybody knows who I'm talking about when I talk about King David in the Bible. But King David was about to die, and he had some last words. And he said in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1, "Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God, of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said." And here's what David said. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." He said in verse 3, "The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me." So he is saying, this is what God told me to tell you before I die. And remember, he's a great king. He was a greater king than Saul was. He's the second king, but he was also the greatest king. And all the other kings are compared to him. And that's a lot to get into this morning. But he says before he dies, "This is what God said to me, and I'm telling you." And he said in verse number 3, "He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." So there he says, here this great king before he dies, he says, this is the kind of person that we need to have as a ruler over us. And I say this morning, these are the type of men and women that we need to look for when we're looking for people to fill the public office, the civil office. God says, "He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." And Noah Webster said this about that passage of Scripture. He said, "This command prescribes the only effectual remedy for public evils. It is an absurd and impious sentiment that religious character is not necessary for public officers." And so he said it was absurd to think that you could have people in public office who were not religiously inclined, who did not have the fear of God in their lives, who did not look to God for leadership and guidance, and who did not look to the Bible and even claim to be a Christian. I brought out a few weeks ago on the radio broadcast that right now in the state of North Carolina, the North Carolina Constitution, one of the prerequisites for public office is still a belief in God. You can go to the website for the North Carolina General Assembly, bring it up, read the requirements under the Constitution for public office, and that is right in there today. I'm not talking about 200 years ago. I'm talking about now. And so why is it like that? Because that's our heritage here in America, here in the state of North Carolina, is to seek out people, or has been in the past, to seek out people who believe in God and have the fear of God. And so King David said that's requirement number one. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And another statement that Mr. Webster made many years ago, he said, "So far is this from being true that it is one of the principal qualifications for any man making or administering laws. When the form of government admits men to office by hereditary rights, rulers may or may not be good men. The people have no choice and must submit." And that's one of the things that early on in America they fought against, was hereditary rulers, you know, King George and King George's son and his son and his son. And what's that word? It just slipped my mind. Not a hierarchy, but a royalty, a line of royalty, a lineage. The royal family even today.
I'm trying to come up with it too, yeah, but I can't remember.
It flew through my mind, but it didn't stop anywhere. But you know what I'm talking about, the royal family and all of that. Hey, if the king's son is a rascal and he's in line for the throne, well, if he's a good guy, that's good. If he's a bad guy, oh, well, that's just the way it is. But here in America, we are not and never have been since the Revolutionary War subjected to that. Not as a law anyway. Now, a lot of times we elect the same people, the same families back into office, and that is one of the downfalls that we have in this country, is putting a family in power and keeping them in power. And you look back through our history, and that one Bush is enough, if you ask me. What's the word?
Monarch.
Monarchy, yeah.
Monarchy, yeah.
A monarchy. And nobody realizes how much work Dave does on the radio. He'll look up things while we're...
Yeah, I broke a sweat there.
Yeah, and so we don't have a monarchy. You know, we are free to choose. But Mr. Webster goes on. He says, but in representative governments, if rulers are bad men, it is generally the fault of the people. If rulers are bad men, it is generally the fault of the people. He said the electors, that's us, you know, we're supposed to go out and vote today. And it's sad. A lot of people, they're not concerned. They don't care, et cetera, et cetera. But it's too late for that for this election. But anyway, the electors, that's us, may indeed be deceived. And you have to work at not being deceived, because what we get in the mailbox, what you see on TV, what that is advertising. And it is advertising a candidate. Vote for me, I'm a good guy, the other guy's a bad guy. Vote for me, she's not what she says she is, I am, and all that kind of stuff. So we have to sift through all this rhetoric, all this junk mail, all this, you know, we have to sift through that, and we need to find and seek out who is worthy of a vote. But Mr. Webster said, but in general, the calamity of having evil counselors, legislators, judges, and ministerial officers is the fault of the electors. They do not regard the precept to choose just men who will rule in the fear of God. They choose men not because they are just men, men of religion and integrity, but solely for the sake of supporting a party. And if it was that way in 1834 that people would just go out and vote to support a party, my goodness, we are a long ways down that road. And a lot of people have problems overcoming that. You know, I'm a D, I'm a R, I'm a unaffiliated, you know, phooey on all that stuff. That's not what matters anymore. A lot of this, Democrats and Republicans have been taken over by progressives, and the parties, what they originally were, have been infiltrated and changed. And you really have to look at the person and what they stand for and what their history is and what their beliefs are. And not just what they say, but what they do and what they've done with our lives. And not just go out for the sake of supporting a party. Then he goes on and he says, but surely as there is a God in heaven who exercises a moral government over the affairs of this world, so certainly will the neglect of the divine command in the choice of rulers be followed by bad laws, crimes, waste of public money, and a thousand other evils. And so, and I'm going to read that again in just a moment, but that is a good thought right there. And it has come true in the country of America today, because by and large, we have left off the divine precept. What I mean by that, what God's word says about who needs to be ruling over men, that David said, he that ruleth over men must be just. And to be just means to be right, to be righteous, to have justice, and to do the right thing. And they must be just, and they must rule in the fear of God. And when we leave off that prerequisite, then we are opening ourselves up for everything under the sun. And look what Mr. Webster said. Certainly, if we do that, if we neglect what God says in the divine command, he said, in the choice of rulers, it will be followed by bad laws, crimes, waste of public money, and a thousand other evils. And you look at all of the crime. I was searching for another word there, but crime is what came to mind. Look at all the crime and all the corruption and all of the things that go on in our government today. We have left off choosing just people, upright, honest people, people of integrity, people who fear God. We went to the rally down in King, North Carolina, and they had two representatives down there, both North Carolina, and they were representatives for that county, not our county. But these two gentlemen, they stood up and they said, you know, gave their testimony, and they said, they were elected officials. And they said to those 5,000 people that had gathered there together in support of the Christian flag being at the Veterans War Memorial, they said, we want you to know that we fear God, and we're going to do what's right, and you've got a voice, you've got a friend there. And I appreciated that. And we need to choose people who are going to be just, who fear God in their lives. Mr. Webster went on and said, men may devise and adopt new forms of government. They may amend old forms, repair breaches, and punish violators of the Constitution, but there can be no effectual remedy but obedience to the divine law. And what Mr. Webster was saying there is you can pass all kinds of laws, you can punish people, you can do all these things, but the remedy to the problem is just to elect people who are just and who have the fear of God in their lives. I'll tell you a little story before time gets gone today. We had a deacon ordination in the church a few weeks ago. And I don't know if you've been to an ordination service, but in the ordination service, a pastor or a deacon, the church will take these men that have been set aside either to pastor a church or to be called to be a deacon in the church, and they will get a pastor to come and examine these men. And so there'll be a time in the church service where the men that are going to be ordained to be deacons, they'll be sitting all together, and a visiting pastor will come, and he'll examine those candidates, and he'll ask them questions. He'll ask them, you know, tell us about your testimony of salvation. Tell us what you believe about the Bible. Tell us what you believe about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some basic fundamental doctrines will be covered, so the whole church, as a matter of public record, knows that these men are doctrinally sound. And that's the reason for that. And so we got done with all that, and then another pastor comes, and he'll preach the charge. And he's going to preach and exhort these men in their calling, you know, what they need to do. And Pastor Carl Wilson, and many know him and have heard him preach down through the years. He got up and he said, he was talking about the examination that we had there at the church. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'd like to examine some of these politicians and set them down on a pew, you know, or set them down and ask them what they thought about some of these things. And I thought, hey, you know, that's right. That'd be a good thing. Where do you stand concerning the Bible? Where do you stand concerning God's word? This is what I'm looking for when I go to the voting booth. And I've already went, by the way. I went during the early voting, and there was a lot of that. I was going to share with you also today, it is amazing how many verses, how many places in the Bible talk about rulers, our rulers that we have. And most people just know, you know, if you say anything critically about anybody, you know, the first thing somebody will come along, well, you're supposed to pray for them. Well, we are supposed to pray for them, but I'll tell you, the Bible has a whole lot more to say than just you need to pray for them. Let me just give you an example of what I'm talking about. Exodus chapter 18, verse 21 says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. And I've actually talked about this on the radio broadcast before, how that the children of Israel had a representative form of government just like we do. And they had rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, over fifties, rulers over tens. And these men that were to be chosen out, they were to be able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. That's a taking of special interest groups, lobbyists, all of that stuff. That is so corrupted, our way of government and who gets elected and all this money. And I mean, it's covetous going on. You know, we'll give you this and we'll give you that. It's a corrupt thing, and it harms our freedoms. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you." So there again, he said, when you get rulers, find men of wisdom, men of understanding, known among your tribes, people that you know. And that is something as well that we need to, that we would be good to make sure when we go to vote that we know who we're voting for. I've had people tell me, "Well, I went to vote for the judges and I didn't know any of them, and one of them had a real common name, so I chose them." You know, I thought, and my goodness, what a terrible way to choose.
Pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. Well, this one sounded better than that one. There is no, that is, I wouldn't even, it'd be better not to vote than to go and vote for somebody but I've heard people say that. I'm not kidding with you this morning. We need to know who we cast a vote for. And the Bible says, known among your tribes. Deuteronomy 17:15, "Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose." I talked about that one time. We need to choose not who I want, but who would God want? Who would God choose? Who's the just person? Who is the one that fears God? That's the one I'm going to vote for. 2 Samuel 23:3, "He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." I've already talked about that. 2 Chronicles 19:2, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." God said, if you choose people who hate the Lord, then my wrath will be upon you. And I wonder in our country if we're not a long ways down that road today. I've lost track of time. Where are we? 2 minutes? Something like that. And then 2 Chronicles 19:6-7, "And he said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord." Wouldn't it be good if our judges, if our rulers across the land would realize that what they're doing, they're not doing for man. They're not there to be doing what they want to do and what pleases them. They're there for the Lord. That's what the Bible says. "But for the Lord who is with you in judgment, wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." And God knew in the Old Testament economy that if the rulers of the people got used to taking gifts from the people, that it would corrupt the government of the people. And that's what I was talking about a minute ago, lobbyists and gifts and these salaries for lifetime and health care and all of these things. And it's hurt us. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2, "That I gave my brother Hananiah, and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem." This is why he was given charge, "for he was a faithful man who feared God above many." And we need some today who will fear God. "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear." And on we could go this morning and talk about these things and what the Bible has to say about it. Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." And I'll give you one more before we close today. Proverbs 29:2, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." And I say, according to God's word, that we have been in a time for years now of the wicked bearing rule. And that is why the people are mourning, hurting. That is why they are so concerned. Well, our time has quickly come and gone today. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to come and share these things on the blessings of liberty. And, you know, even with all of our problems in this country, we still have a great country and we have liberty. And I thank God for that. Thank you, Dave, for being here with us today. Noah's here, but he didn't say anything. But tune in next week, and thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone.